Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas. Pete, shouts to the league.
Yeah, man, they always come through. Best league in the world.
We wouldn't have had very much to talk about had we recorded it, you know, our usual noontime. That's what you and I were joking about before we went live here. Literal minutes. Minutes before you and I start recording, the Brooklyn Nets send Allen Crabbe their own first rounder and then a 2021 first rounder.
A 2020 first rounder. So basically, they'll be picking for Atlanta. This is how they avoid the Stepien rule that prevents teams from trading picks in back-to-back years. So they'll pick for Atlanta on draft day, and then they'll execute the trade in July. So basically, this year's first, and then a lotto-protected first in 2020, along with Crabbe.
And they're doing this to open up room to be able to sign Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, and possibly more. They already had max cap space, so this kind of declares their intentions to even go beyond just that. And they got a solid player in Taurean Prince back as well.
Yeah. It's not going to happen. This is kind of their announcing that D'Angelo Russell probably isn't going to be back there if they are interested in Kyrie Irving. But I need to see those defensive possessions. Like with Kyrie and D'Lo, who I really like, by the way. I really like D'Angelo Russell. But those defensive possessions would be just spectacular. what we're going to talk about today, and by the way, if you guys know where to find the show, you guys know where to find us on Twitter, but if you guys are looking for a platform to find podcasts, not just ours, but others, check out Himalaya. They've been incredible with us. Check them out moving forward. Let's continue to support those who support us. But to get back to this, today we're basically going to talk about what looks to be the image was kind of murky when the offseason started. Right, it was. You kind of saw. Are you a Harry Potter guy?
I've seen all of the Harry Potter movies. Believe it or not, I was between Joey Ramirez and my girl Jeannie and my son. All of them conspired to get me to watch all of them. So I wouldn't describe myself as a Harry Potter guy, but I speak Harry Potter. Yeah, you know, I can get myself through a conversation. I think we're about to find out, aren't we?
I'm going super nerdy. But there's a contraption that Mad-Eye Moody used where basically he can see his enemies, right? And, like, the closer they are, the clearer they become in this, like, kind of foggy mirror thing. And I would say at the beginning of this, it was kind of like those enemies were really far away. They're there, but the image was pretty murky. It's hard to really tell what's going on here. But today really kind of blew some of that fog away, right? And we're starting. This is the clearest picture, I think, that we've had of the way that this Anthony Davis situation might kind of play out by way of Brooklyn using a couple assets that they would have used in a trade for Anthony Davis, kind of announcing I guess indirectly that Kyrie Irving isn't going to be back in Boston, which ties their hands to a certain extent as well. And then, you know, Kyrie and by opening up the space to sign Kyrie and Kevin Durant, this also kind of impacts the Knicks standing in all of this as well. So I'm reading this situation incorrectly. Maybe you disagree, but I think this is probably the closest the Lakers have ever been to landing Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I mean, this improves, and Kevin Durant is the big, you know, linchpin in this, if we do believe that Kyrie is going to Brooklyn, is, you know, what are KD's intentions? Because if KD still plans on signing with the Knicks, that really motivates the Knicks to make an AD trade. Now, you could also argue that even if KD goes to Brooklyn, the Knicks are going to really be motivated to not want to end this summer with no stars, right? So maybe that makes them even more inclined to go after Anthony Davis and try and fill out a team around him and hope that Anthony Davis is willing to resign, even if there's not a whole heck of a lot around him, right? Because that is one of the teams that AD wants to resign with. The clearest part of this is Brooklyn giving up those two first round picks. They were a, you know, potential dark horse candidate to trade for AD. They've got several good players. Caris LeVert's probably their best guy that's under contract. He's got one more year. He's 24 years old, very good player. But last year of his deal, and he has a very checkered injury history. He's torn two ACLs. He had that gruesome foot injury that he came back from. And he looked great in the playoffs. But his trade value, both by virtue of the fact that he's about to get paid and that injury history, is probably diminished a bit vis-a-vis the play, type of player that he is, because he's really good. Right. You got Jared Allen, who's a solid young big. They've got like a lot of solid pieces, but probably their best selling point was that they could really sell the farm in terms of first round picks. And that's been cut in half. And one thing to consider within that is they cannot trade a first round pick now until 2022. And the further out a draft pick is, the less valuable it is in a trade. Mm-hmm. Right. Because you've got people who they don't know if they're going to have a job in 2022. Right. Like yeah. David Griffin probably will. But when you start talking years and years out, it's less of a juicy type of asset. So I think Brooklyn becomes less of a potential dark horse in this. And then kind of the chain reaction that you said there of like, well, hey, what if KD goes to Brooklyn? You know, maybe that makes Anthony Davis less inclined to want to stay in New York. There are just so many machinations and moving parts of this. But I do think all in all, this is a good, a small move, but a good one for the Lakers.
Yeah, it's and really, that's kind of how we operate here on the show. It's like, all right, something happens. How do we tie this back to the Lakers? What does this do for the Lakers? And in this case, it's actually a relatively clear impact on the Lakers, you know, by typical definitions of off-season trades, which also, like, how insane would it be? So this is one of the first times I can really remember a trade going down during the finals, right? Uh-huh. How wild would it be if Anthony Davis was moved, like, at halftime of one of these games?
Like, it would be great. It would be perfect, right? And KD comes out of the tunnel. Let's go. Let's go full WWE with the NBA, man.
Do you think, like, Adam Silver would probably ask the teams to keep that quiet until the end of the game, right?
Like, yeah, oh, for sure.
You guys, come on.
He was terribly annoyed at all of the coverage the Lakers were getting, right? Like, with the Baxter Holmes piece and all that. Like he basically all but said, dude, the NBA Finals are about to start. Like, right. Like, please cover like the crown jewel event of our sport rather than the Lakers' dysfunction.
I would argue that the Lakers' dysfunction is probably the crown jewel of the sport.
It very well might be.
We're going to take a quick second here. When we come back, I want to go deeper into some of these trade packages, which have, you know, it's conversations that we've had before. But like, if we're just looking objectively at some of these things, I think the conversation has gotten away from us a little bit, especially in New Orleans, where fans in New Orleans just are outright against whatever it is the Lakers could offer. But I kind of want to talk about, we're going to look at Brooklyn now, we're going to look at New York, we're going to look at Boston. Now, there's always a dark horse candidate. I kind of have my eye on Denver, just because it just seems like the kind of thing that that seems like that random team that might pop up, but who knows? But we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the potential offers that the Lakers might be up against. All right, so you and I, in not yesterday's show, but in the day before show, last time you and I spoke, we talked about what the initial offer might be for the Lakers. Right. If they were to start this conversation, it would probably be one of Lonzo and Ingram, the number four pick, whoever, you know, whether it's Kuzma, Hart, Wagner, any of those kind of lower tiered younger players. And then, you know, perhaps a first round pick after LeBron James' Lakers tenure is up contractually right now. Right. So if that's the starting point on any of the things that were that any of these conversations, is there a team between Brooklyn, New York, and anybody else really that can realistically beat that offer with assets that they would be okay giving up on right now?
So New York, no. I don't think very highly of what New York can offer. Mm-hmm. I like Mitchell Robinson, but he's a, you know, run and jump big, and those are a dime a dozen in the league. That's not somebody that you're going to, you know, put a whole ton of value on in a trade. Kevin Knox had a very rough rookie season. I do think he has some talent, but I don't think he's necessarily somebody that you're
going to... He had an 8.7 PER last year.
Yeah, dude, he was bad, right? Now, mind you, like, Brandon Ingram was really bad as a rookie, uh-huh. right? And it's foolish to say that this is what he's going to be, but I don't think that he's somebody that you're going to bank on being a future star, right?
That's a good way to get fired. Give up Anthony Davis for Kevin Knox. That's a great way to...
Right.
Down and the road, be like, oh, God.
I think you'd have to really, really, really think highly of R.J. Barrett, which some people do, mm-hmm. right? That's a possibility. I think he's good. I don't think he's a future superstar, but I think he's a good player. But I think that you could that would be the argument you could make. The one angle from Brooklyn is, would a D'Angelo Russell sign and trade along with some of those other assets, you throw D'Angelo in there and get him under a 4-year deal. That might be something that New Orleans looks at really hard. I think that they could beat the Lakers offer if that's something that D'Angelo would be interested in.
Could you imagine the irony here?
Right.
That
right.
would be
that Russell comes in and he's the reason why the Lakers can't get Anthony Davis. Right.
Ouch.
In terms of other teams, like, look, we saw the Toronto Raptors come in and get Kawhi Leonard, and they were not a team that was initially rumored during that process. We saw Oklahoma City do that with Paul George. You know, there are teams around the league with your Portlands, your Denvers. There are various squads that could be motivated to, hey, you know, we've got this good team, but if we can get a superstar, we can make that next step. Just look at what happened with Toronto when they were able to do that with Kawhi Leonard. Could we be that ourselves, right? And then hope that we can re-sign him. That would be a pretty bold move. And the issue with that is that, like, the Spurs made a terrible trade. This isn't talked about enough. Is so say with Portland, you give up something based on CJ McCollum, who's really good. And he hasn't made an all-star game, but he's an all-star caliber player, in my opinion. He's signed, I think, 2 more years, maybe 3, at 27-ish million. Does that align with the timeline for the New Orleans Pelicans, right? Is that type of player, is that what you're going for? You're probably a you know, 10th pick in the draft type, 10th seed in the West type of team, that if you put together that type of squad, is that really what you're going for? Like, are you too good too soon, but not good enough to make any noise? If you get a guy like McCollum and whatever other assets they can throw in there. And you're talking late first, right? Same thing's true with Denver. You can give up some guys. And then from the team side of things, the team that's trading for him, how comfortable do you feel that, hey, I can get Anthony Davis to fall in love with Denver? I can get him to fall in love with Portland. I think that when you've got a city like Toronto, you've got a much better, you know, that in your back pocket, like, hey, I can get him to fall in love with Toronto. Toronto's an awesome city, you know. So, but there's always going to be a team that's going to emerge. So I don't want to be, you know, counting chickens.
Dismissive.
Dismissive of and being like, hey, the Lakers got this wrapped up or anything like that, because there's always somebody who could emerge.
Yeah, I completely agree. That's been one of the drums that I've been banging all along here, is that in the vast majority of these cases, and look, I'm pulling off of the top of my head right now, but I can't think of very many instances where a superstar was traded and they wound up being traded to the city that was, you know, one of the cities that was always linked to that player, right?
Right.
To that point, somebody might pop up. But, you know, for where we currently sit, if Boston isn't willing to give up both of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, right, I like the Lakers' chances. Beyond that, so long as they kind of aren't involved, and especially now that Brooklyn doesn't have an entire treasure trove of draft picks to be able to use, like, it's really hard to find a team that that even that initial offer, because by the way, this is just the initial offer.
Right.
The Lakers can continue to push into the middle of the pot. Now, whether or not they should, that's a different conversation altogether. I'm mostly on board of, you know what, screw it, go get Anthony Davis. But I understand why most people, or a lot of people, are hesitant to do that kind of thing.
And even if you are at that position, you know that, like, hey, if you can get Anthony Davis for less, you go and do it, right? Yeah. Like, you don't – that's what bothered me about the trade deadline. It was just this, like, just give up everything, right. You know. And what you said about Boston kind of being out of it, or seemingly being out of it, and Anthony Davis and Clutch being so resistant to that particular destination, like, it would be hard for me to envision them trading for Anthony Davis against his will and him resigning there. I could see it in another city, but him doing it there, that's tougher to imagine.
Yeah, where he specifically said, by way of his representation, no, I don't want to go to Boston.
Right.
Right. That's not, it's not quite the same as, like, you know, Kawhi going to Toronto, where I don't think Kawhi has ever thought of the city of Toronto before he wound up there, right?
But it wasn't like a hard no, right? Yeah. It was just like, oh, okay, I'm in Toronto, yeah. Yeah.
Do they have tuna here? We're going to take a quick second here, because I do want to have that conversation about, because it is kind of the topic du jour in Lakers Twitter right now is there a such thing as too much to give up for Anthony Davis? I think you and I actually might kind of disagree on this one.
Okay.
So I'm interested to see where this goes. We're going to take a quick second. When we come back, we're going to talk about that. So as I said last segment, I'm pretty plainly on board the ship of, you know what, just go get the guy. You know, I'm not going to allow if New Orleans comes to you and says, look, we're this close. All I want, you know, if you just add Lonzo to this equation, and we're that close anyway, then I say okay. You know, then it would suck to give up, you know, say both of Lonzo and, you know, I think if you give up both Lonzo and Ingram, you don't have to give up something else, right? I think of the three main assets that the Lakers are going to be using right now, it's that number four pick, it's Ingram, and it's Lonzo. I think you can probably try to get away with holding on to all three of them, and if you're holding on to two of the three, or no, holding on to one of the three there. And then, you know, if you do wind up including all three of them, you're getting something additional from New Orleans.
Right? Sure.
Like, you don't have to take on, I think it's Solomon Hill's contract.
Right. And you're probably keeping Kuzma and Hart and future picks. Yeah.
Right. So, but is there, you know, within reason, because again, all the Lakers have to do here is beat the next best, the second best offer. That's all they have to do. And I think, If we're just talking about those three things, they can do that by sending away two of the three things there. There's no scenario here where you balk at sending two of those three things, right?
Correct.
Is there a scenario here where you balk at sending away all three of them?
I would not send away all three.
Okay.
I think Anthony Davis is a little bit overrated.
Wow, I'm using that audio.
Yeah, and that's going to haunt me when we trade for him, right? He's a great player.
Yeah.
I think that if he was, and now mind you, I could talk myself into, or you could do the same, that Anthony Davis is more suited for a number 2 role.
Mm-hmm.
Like for me, the big who really shined. So all this goes back to kind of maybe a bias that I have against big men, mm-hmm. and about the degree to which they can have value in today's game.
Yeah.
The guy who really showed that in these playoffs amongst the bigs for me was Nikola Jokic.
Yeah.
That's because Nikola Jokic is a friggin' point guard.
Yeah.
Right. And like, can you create shots not just for yourself, but for other people? And can we give you the ball out on the perimeter? And can you create shots for yourself and for other people? Jokic is one of the few bigs who can do that. even with as dominant as Embiid is, and Embiid's a monster, right? Mm-hmm. And as incredibly skilled as Anthony Davis is, I think there's a certain limit on what those guys can do. Now, if you pair that guy, say Pau Gasol style, with a LeBron James, right? Mm-hmm. And make no mistake, Anthony Davis is better than Pau was, as much as I love Pau.
How dare you? Domin's so angry at you right now.
Sorry, Domin. I apologize. Then maybe that's when you can max out Anthony Davis's value. But to me, if you're giving everything of value now, and to me, four, even though it's the most valuable trade asset league wide, is less value to me than Lonzo or Ingram is, because those guys are going to be more ready to play mm-hmm. alongside and contribute to a possible title team. You've got Brandon going into his fourth year, Lonzo going into his third, as opposed to a rookie. So I'm a lot less protective of four than I would be of either Lonzo or Brandon. But if you're trading all of that, is there a route to get somebody else and have to give up significantly less? He's not going to be as good as Anthony Davis, but at some point there's a tipping point between giving up like all of that plus what you could be getting versus Anthony Davis. Is you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like there's a tipping point, and for me, like,
is Bradley Beal and one of Kuzma is Bradley Beal and one of Lonzo or Ingram worth more than AD by himself?
Right. Like say it takes Lonzo and Kuzma or Brandon and Kuzma mm-hmm. to get a Bradley Beal and throw future picks into this, right? This mm-hmm. is something where this is a time to be trading future firsts, mm-hmm. in my opinion, if you're going to be making a move like that.
Yeah.
Like, is that worth more, right? And at some point, like, if you're talking all three versus trading one of them, to me, yeah, I'd rather have two of those guys versus none of them.
Yeah. So my counter to that, you kind of touched on it, was going to be that situation here matters, right? Like, if I was just in a vacuum and the Lakers didn't already have LeBron James, somebody who can help maximize AD's value, then yeah, I would be hesitant to offer up the farm for Anthony Davis, right? We've already seen what happens when it's just Davis in an organization, you know. Like, we've already seen that. We've seen that movie, and it was so-so. Right.
Yeah, he's good, but he's not going to carry you to contention.
Right. But the Lakers do have LeBron. And by the way, they do have LeBron, and they could potentially have a second star beyond that, too.
And that's the place where my opinion starts to change.
Yeah.
If you can get that third star in here as well, then I'm good.
Yeah. Like, if I'm trading for Anthony Davis, I already have LeBron, and Jimmy Butler seems interested in being a Laker, then I'm fine. There's not a single asset on the Lakers in the Lakers cupboard that I'm holding on to till my dying breath.
I agree with that. I could roll with that.
Yeah, and look, who knows how this is all going to go? It's interesting though that and Charles Barkley went on TNT the other day or the other night and was saying how nobody knows what's going to happen right now and nobody can predict this stuff. Not even the players know. The Brooklyn Nets were like, "Shut up, Chuck." Yeah, right, like the Brooklyn Nets were like, no, it seems like we kind of sort of know with Kyrie and potentially somebody else. So it's going to be interesting to see who that somebody else might be, right? And if that somebody else is somebody that the Lakers didn't have a chance at anyway, and the Lakers could potentially pair Anthony Davis with Jimmy Butler and then with LeBron. And by the way, the Warriors lose Kevin Durant this offseason. We've seen how this is the last thing I wanted to touch on before we send everybody off into the weekend. We've seen how these finals have gone, right? Mm-hmm. If the Lakers walk into next year, this is you guys can use this as a soundbite if you want. If the Lakers walk into next year with Anthony Davis, with LeBron, and with Jimmy Butler, I'm calling them title favorites.
Even if it's the merry minimums around them?
The merry minimums, I think, are going to be really good, because it's not the typical merry minimum that you're talking about here. You're talking about the Lakers would be able to now. whether or not they take advantage of the additional value that they'll be able to get in that kind of a situation, right? Like, we've seen Rob Pelinka mangle the, sure. the margins. So that's kind of my caveat here. But if Golden State loses Durant and then the Lakers get those three guys and they have exceptions to work with, and, you know, say one of like Josh Hart and Kuzma are still around, though I don't know if they'd be able to, right? They'd have to.
No, they'd be able to do this and keep Lonzo or Ingram. Like, if in from a financial perspective, yeah. Eric Pincus had a great article right. on this that where the math is, you know, you'd have to read it. I wouldn't be able to yeah. recount it. But there is a way to do this in the right order that can actually be a big three plus one of the main kids, yeah. right? A lot Lonzo or Ingram. And to me, that, like, God, if, like, look, I agree with you. If we have to empty the cupboards to get to the point of getting three stars, I would do it. I also think there's a way to do this, and this is me being greedy, but I think this is how you build a sustainable title uh-huh. contender. There's a way to do this and keep one of Lonzo or Brandon, and you are really on your way to being, and then that's when your room exception guy is your fifth guy and your ring chasers are coming off of the bench, you know, things like that. I really think that's the pinnacle of what the Lakers can do. And I really want them to try to hit that.
Don't get me excited, man. I've been down this path. Every time I start getting excited, it's a Draymond straight to the Nets. Do you agree though that if the Lakers walk away with those three guys and the Warriors miss out on, you know, they lose Durant this year, right, and they enter next year with basically the same team that is getting beaten by Toronto, that very easily could be down 3-0 to mm-hmm. Toronto right now. Do you think the Lakers are if not title favorites, but like one of the top three teams?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I do. That team's hell in the playoffs. Like, Jimmy Butler is a killer.
Yeah.
Like, I have my concerns about his mileage, about his, you know, he can be kind of a difficult guy. Mm-hmm. And I like elements of his personality. I like people that actually say what's on their mind.
Yeah, not passive aggressive. The opposite.
Yeah, there's
passive-aggressive.
Right, exactly. Right. You know where you stand with him. But that dude in the playoffs is a killer. And then you add the skill of Anthony Davis on top of that to facilitate that.
By the way, right?
In the playoffs, when everything, you know, look at how many hard shots you have to hit in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's one thing. Every time I watch the playoffs, like, everybody, those are three guys that can hit hard shots. Very few teams have three guys that can hit hard shots. The Warriors do right now when they're healthy, and they're obviously not, but that's about it in the NBA. And if you got three guys that can hit those type of shots while facilitating for other people, I think they're the favorite in just about every series. I'd probably, you know, if everyone comes back for Golden State, I'd probably favor them just from a continuity standpoint.
Yeah, you kind of have to.
Not by very much. Mm-hmm. So I'm with you on that.
Yeah, it'd be fascinating. And to the point that you were making about, you know, the sustainable success, I like that the Lakers would have levels of their team, right? It wouldn't just be the veterans and the young guys, as we've seen in years past. It would be, you'd have Alonzo, right? In the perfect situation, you'd have Alonzo, who is the... who is the younger kind of, obviously the youngest of the core. And then you have Davis, who is, you know, a couple years older. Then you have Butler, who's a couple years older than that, right? And then you have LeBron, who is kind of seen as the steward of everything. I'd like the levels of that, that it's a mingling of it, and it's not just, here's this side of the locker room and here's that side of the locker room. I think that would be important.
No, that's a great point. That's a great point. And it's different than kind of how the team was built this year.
Yeah. How they've been built, really, since True. You and I started doing this stuff. That'll do it for this episode and this week's episodes of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. Thank you, Pete, for coming back again. It's so great to have you back here and getting.
Oh, it's so good to be back, man. This feels so normal, and I've just been wanting normalcy for the last few weeks, and so it's a gift to me, man, to be on the show and talking my crap, you know, and sharing my opinion, man. So thank you.
Unfortunately, you got me all optimistic right now, so I'm a little nervous.
Bro, we need a little optimism. I mean, if they kick us in the nuts again, it's not, you know, it's not the first time nor the last. But I'm going to have a hard time being a Laker fan without any optimism. I got to find my places to do it. And, you know, maybe in a month we're crying into our beers, and that'll be how it is. But for now, damn it, we got max cap space, LeBron James, the fourth pick in the draft, and some pretty good young players. And damn it, I'm going to hold on to that as long as I can.
Yeah, man. Today was a good day. Today was a good day to be a Laker. Like, this was a good development for if you're out there and you're trying to be optimistic about the Lakers. Today was a very good development type of a day. So let's enjoy it. Let's stop and smell the roses. Be a little optimistic right now. We'll line up to kick the football, only to see Lucy potentially take it away from us. But hey, that whip will be glorious. Have a great weekend, everybody. Make somebody else's, and I'll talk to you on Monday.